God, we thank you for the freedom that we have in you. That the enemy being defeated is good news, that we have victory in you. God, I ask that we would walk in victory this evening. That we would know that it is here now. That when you said it was finished, it's finished. Done. God, may we be embraced by your victory this evening. May we have that sense of your victory in certain parts of our lives where we feel that we're just down and out. God, I ask that life would be breathed into those areas of our lives where we feel like there isn't victory. God, may we know that we can find victory in you. God, as a result, as we walk in light of your victory, may we know that in all of this, it has all been done because you love us. You love us. It's not a transaction. It was not because of whatever it may be. It was just simply because you love us. And you desire for us to have that freedom, that forgiveness. And so may we walk in it. May we know it. May we embrace it this evening. And thank you for it. Love you, Jesus, so much. In your name, we all said? Amen. Amen. For those of you standing, you may be seated. How are we doing? Good? Fantastic? All right? Somewhat okay? This week was like, or awesome, yeah? All across the board? Okay. So, my sister and I went to Israel one time on our own because I was dropping her off. Because that's what you do. As an older brother, you drop your younger sibling off in the Middle East. That's just what happens. No, I didn't like her, so I'm like, you're going to go there? No, she actually was taking a class out there. She was studying abroad in Jerusalem. And so we decided, let's go out there for a week beforehand and hang out. And then I will leave, and then you'll go to school for 16 weeks, right? And it was awesome. And so we hung out in Jerusalem for a week. And then I remember the last day with the taxi there, ready to take me to the airport because I'm about to leave. I didn't expect this, but it was this moment of like, I don't want to leave you here because this is like the Middle East and stuff, and I don't know what's going to happen. You're like my little sister, and you're in the school that you've never met anybody at the school. And so I'm just standing there, and I start expressing things to her that matter. How much I love her, how much I appreciate her. Started giving her like bits of hope, like it's only 16 weeks, we will be back. It's okay, because she was a bit kind of nervous too, like, I don't really know anyone here. Why am I here? Why did I do this? The reality sinking in, right? And I'm giving her like words of advice, like don't go off on your own, be smart, make sure you know where your money is, yada, 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 all that stuff, right? I'm expressing that, and then I say goodbye, and I get into the taxi, and I leave to go across the world back home. And a similar situation happens in the life of Jesus. Jesus is about to leave. And he's expressing very similar things, how he loves them, how he's going to come back, so there's hope. He's not going to leave them. He's not going to abandon them. The Spirit of God is going to come and help them, right? And then he begins to tell them some wisdom. Then he begins to share with them what he desires for them to go and do once he's gone. He says this in Matthew 28:19. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's keep that up there for a second. So Jesus' charge, as he's about to leave, is saying, I want you to go out, and I want you to do as I have done for you. I want you to disciple people. I want you to share with them the gospel. I want you to walk life out with them. And then when they agree to that, when they're like, yeah, I want to be a part of this. Yeah, I want to follow Jesus. Yeah, I want to do that. I want you to baptize them in the name of God. Right? Now, with this verse, across the entire spectrum of all the denominations within Christendom, we can pretty much all agree that, yeah, baptizing, yeah, we do that. Now, where it gets weird is after that, because people have all kinds of opinions about what baptism is, what you do, how you do it, when you do it, who you, like all that stuff. It just gets weird, and people have been arguing about it for hundreds of years. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about baptism tonight. And the reason why I want to talk about it is because next weekend in service, we are going to baptize people. And I am so stoked about that, because sometimes we've done it, you know, at Baby Beach or in the ocean, Sometimes we do it on Thursday night, but on a weekend service, we're going to have a tub here. It is going to be warm. Don't worry. And we're going to baptize people in service. And I love, love, love the idea. And I'm really pumped on it. I'm really excited about it. So what I want to do is I want to talk about it. I want to kind of clear the air a little bit and begin to look at what is baptism. Why do we do that? That's kind of weird. Why is that a part of our faith? What does that look like? Why do we do it? And so tonight we're going to look at a few different things of why they did what they did back then and why we do what we do now. In order to do that, I'm going to walk you down a couple avenues. One is going to go behind the word to baptize, what that actually means, the context of it when we read it within the New Testament. So we're going to do a little bit of what's called a word study. And then we're going to talk about the history behind baptism. Why, again, they did what they did back then is why we do what we do today. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk about the life of Jesus, and then we're going to talk about us today. Sound good? So I'm going to use some words that are a little bit bigger that normally I don't talk about or use them, so just bear with me. If we can just like put our thinking caps on for a second, we're going to begin to dive into a little bit about what baptism is all about. So the word is in Greek. The Greek is the New Testament is primarily written in Greek. Actually, the majority of it is. And so the Greek word to baptize is baptizo, is how you say it, or so how we think we say it. It's baptizo. And I think we have that to be projected on there. That is so small. Right on. It was really small back then too, so it's all good. But that's the idea. That's the Greek behind it is called baptizo. And baptizo was a common word used in their language back then. It means to wash, to soak, to plunge, to immerse. In ancient Greek literature, they talked a lot about baptizo. When like a ship would sink, they would use that word. In fact, an ancient philosopher in 200 BC had instructions on how to create pickles. And he would say things like, hey, in order to make a pickle, you have to baptizo it into vinegar. You have to immerse it into vinegar. It was a common word used back then in the ancient Greek. But what the philosopher was doing was just using a very common word, but that common word can be a bit confusing because there's two kinds of context for that word. When you read the New Testament, why then, if the word baptizo means to be washed, or means to immerse, why then is it that you see the word baptize in the New Testament? Why not just say, and you will wash people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Why use that word? Because there's two different contexts being used when it comes to translation and transliteration. Bear with me here for a second, okay? Translation when you is taking a word and translating it into another language, right? So you take the Greek word theos and you translate it into English, which is God. That's translation. They take the Greek word baptizo and you translate it into wash. We have that multiple times in the New Testament. For example, Mark 7, verse 4 says this. It says, similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse, baptizo, their hands in water. Does that mean that you have to get baptized before you eat? No, it's just talking about hygiene. Hey, wash your hands. Baptizo your hands, right? A common word there, translating it into immerse. Or look at Luke 11:38. It says, his host was amazed to see that he, Jesus, who he's talking about, sat down to eat without first performing the hand washing or baptizo ceremony required by Jewish custom. Again, this is a translation of the word baptizo into wash or immerse. Now, the question then becomes, why then are there certain instances that it says baptize? What does that, why are they doing that? Now, when you take translation, as crazy it is, as really hard as it is, there's a thing called transliteration. Let's put the Greek word back up there, baptizo. Now, it's bigger. Look at that. That's fantastic, right? So you have baptizo. A transliteration means that you're taking each individual letter and creating a new word because there's something different that is happening with that word that we don't have in the English language. So periodically through translation, you have different transliterations that exist, this being one of them. So what they had done, literally, the translator said, okay, there's that B-looking symbol is called beta in Greek. So what they're like, beta, we'll just call that B. And then you have A or alpha, right? Or alpha, beta, remember that? Doesn't exist anymore, but what? You get it? It's all Greek. Alpha or A, right? And then they create this word, baptize. Now, why did they transliterate it to baptize? Why did they transliterate the word when Jesus said, I want you to baptize them instead of wash? Well, it all stems from ancient Jewish history. Because in the context of that framework, when Jesus is saying it, he's not talking about the common uses of just washing your hands or washing something, that there's actually an ancient ceremonial washing that people would do. Bear with me here. This is all going to make sense in a second. Back then, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, would go to Judea, Palestine, Israel, and they would see Jewish people, and they would see that they're worshiping one God, where Gentiles most often were pagan. They didn't worship, they worshiped a lot of different gods, but they saw this one God, and they're like, oh, I want to be a part of that. And so they would ask the Jewish people, hey, can I be a part of your belief? Can I be a part of your religion? And the Jewish leaders are like, yeah. And so over time, they like, well, in order for you to become Jewish, you're going to have to do a couple things. You're going to have to do a couple things so that you separate from your Gentileness to become a Jewish. And so if you take ancient Jewish literature, you can compile them all into these few things. Ready? First one that they told them to do included circumcision. That's why in ancient Jewish culture, it was just females. Because all the dudes were like, wait, you got to do what? With what? I'm not, count me out. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Lots of them transferred into Judaism. You're like, wait, what do you mean? Just women? No, all of them. But they saw that and they're like, I got to do what? Huh? Yes, you got to be circumcised because we all are. If you want to be a part of the community, that's something. If you want to become Jewish, that's something that you have to do, right? Another one is a covenant meal. Another one is acknowledgement of the law or the Torah. Another one was a sacrifice. And then lastly, a ceremonial washing. Where they would go into their private place, wherever they lived, and they would wash themselves. And that act, that symbolic act of washing themselves, meant that they are cleansing them of their sins, so to speak, symbolically, and that they're leaving their Gentileness behind and becoming something new, that being Jewish. So when you see the word baptizo translated to wash is something similar in that regard, that's because it's being translated to its common purpose. But when you see the word transliterated, baptize, it means that that's because it's referring to an ancient Jewish custom of ceremonial washing, where their bodies were immersed into water to become no longer Gentiles, but now Jews. You see that, okay? So to baptize from a Jewish standpoint symbolized that they were being cleansed and leaving something behind. But it didn't just mean that they were being cleansed and leaving something behind. It also meant that when you're baptized, when you are in this ceremonial washing, so to speak, and also means that you are aligning with the message that Judaism is saying. It means that you're aligning with what they believe in. Now here's where it gets weird. Around 30 AD, there's a dude in the wilderness, and he begins to preach a different kind of message, and people begin to hear it, and they begin to align themselves with this message. A Jewish man in the wilderness is preaching a new message, and this new message, other people are hearing it and saying, I want to align myself with that. And that new message was basically one word, repent. And it was to repent because the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is in our midst. That something new is about to happen. Something new is beginning, and it's there. You can sense it. It's like right there. It's imminent. His presence is imminent. Imminent's really close. So come with me. And people are saying, yeah, I want to be a part of that. And this is where it gets real weird. Is that this dude, which many of us know, his name is what? John. Right? This dude, John, who literally is in the desert wearing like animal skin clothing, eating locusts and loving honey and like just talking, like just probably never took a bath, probably smells really bad. And maybe from the standpoint of him standing in the Jordan River, but he does something really weird here. He begins to say, if you want to be a part of what I'm talking about, then come into the river And then what we think is it looked like some kind of ceremonial washing. But this time it wasn't in private. This time it was in public for everyone to see. And so people are watching this because it's in public and they're going, what on earth is going on? What these people were doing is as John was baptizing them in the Jordan and lifting them up out of the water, which means that they are in agreement with what he is saying. And also means that they desire to repent, that they want that old stuff to go away and for newness to come. So John gets a name because of it. And his name is John the Baptist, right? It's not his last name. It's a nickname because that's what he was doing. So John the Baptist, and here's the crazy thing. You put up John the Baptist up here. So obviously John is not, that's not in Greek, okay? Obviously. But baptizon is a derivative of baptizo. Baptizon is a brand new word never found in the New Testament until here. They had to create it because nobody has ever baptized someone. Baptizo is something that you did on your own. And so they have to create a brand new word because something new is happening. And what is this guy doing? So really, this is like John the washer, John the immerser. We don't even have a word for it. We're just going to call it baptizon. That's John the washer. That's the guy. And he's coming in and he's washing people. What on earth is happening? What is he doing? And Jewish people are lining up because they desire to see the Messiah come. Because they're aligning with what John's message is all about. Which again, when he's baptizing him, what it means is two things. That they're identifying to something new. And they're also agreeing with what John is saying to be true. It is an external response to some kind of internal change that is happening within them, right? That's what it symbolized. And so John was baptizing lots of them. And then all of a sudden, John's doing his deal, baptizing people in the Jordan. And off in the distance, he sees a man walk up. And I could just imagine the goosebumps that come over John, because everything that he has been sharing, everything that he has been expressing has just shown up. Jesus is within the crowd. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world is here. And then you just imagine the crowd just going, huh? And Jesus comes walking down into the Jordan River. John is staring there. His message is coming to fruition as the Messiah is right before his eyes. Matthew 3, verse 14 says this. But John tried to talk him out of it. Out of what? Jesus goes to John. He says, I want you to baptize me. John's going, uh-uh. No. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize Jesus. What's happening there when John baptizes Jesus? Remember, people are watching all of this happen. And the people would know that if John baptizes Jesus, that Jesus would be identifying or confirming that what John is preaching is true. That as John is baptizing him, the entire public, everyone is seeing that what John is preaching is true. And what is true is that Jesus is the Messiah. And it's even more confirmed because what happens right after Jesus comes out of the water? Oh my goodness, it's the Trinity in action. It's unbelievable. Check this out, verse 16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, feeling that the Spirit of God just coming down, that sense of coming. It's not a dove, okay? Like a dove. The feeling of like a bird or something coming down upon you, right? And then a voice from heaven said this, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Isn't that, you see that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is baptized. What John had been preaching, in other words, had been true all along, that the people who wanted to be a part of this new message, that the people who wanted to be a part of the new thing that was showing up that God was doing, were all there to see it happen. And so what ends up happening is that baptism takes on a whole new meaning while still holding on to its Jewish roots. Baptism became public, a public symbol of identifying with someone and their message. And of course, there was that whole Jewish aspect of it, of being cleansed and leaving something behind. It was an external expression of an internal change that was happening. And from that moment forward of John baptizing people in the Jordan, Christians were then sent out to do the same, to have people going public with what God is doing internally in them, to show and express that I am no longer Sean from the past. I am now a new creation, adopted into a new family, his family. I am now a co-heir in Christ. I am now a new person. Is it baptism that does that? No. It's just an external expression of what has already happened internally within. So just a side note, you don't have to be baptized. But if you have the opportunity to do it, yes, 100%. Don't rob yourself of the opportunity, right? Don't rob yourself, because it's beautiful, it's spiritual, but it does not save you. Baptism is not a condition of salvation. It is an evidence of salvation. It is not a condition. It is an evidence of salvation. It is something that we get to partake in. It is something that where you literally get to feel, it's like you feel the presence of God is there. And it, like, I don't understand it, guys, but I remember when I was in junior high and I got baptized. And I was on a junior high trip with this church up in the mountains. It was freezing cold and people were getting baptized in a jacuzzi. And I thought, I would love to go in a jacuzzi as a junior higher. And so half of it was like, I want to be identified as a Christian. I don't really understand what you're talking about. But the other half was like, I'd really love to go in that jacuzzi because it's cold outside. And so I remember Dave Weissman was the junior high pastor at the time. And I remember I said, I want to get baptized. And I'm sitting in the jacuzzi. And I'm like, nice. And then all of a sudden, Dave puts his hand on me and begins to pray over me. And it was like what I read in scripture, what happened to Jesus. It was like the Spirit of God fell upon me, and I'm like, oh, what is that? That is awesome. And got dunked under, right? And then came out, and I'm like, whoa, that was so incredible. That was so amazing. I still remember. I cannot forget that moment. I still remember it. And so I recommend everyone to get baptized. If you haven't been baptized, you're missing out. It's just an incredible opportunity to make your faith public. It's an incredible opportunity to experience something that Jesus did, to experience something that many people have experienced as well. But just remember, baptism is not a condition of salvation. It's evidence of salvation. And we see it in the New Testament all the time. People aren't baptized. Like the guy on the cross, right? Jesus is on the cross. The dude next to him is like, hey, I believe in you, man. He's like, well, you will be with me. Where are we going after this? Did Jesus go, but you got to be baptized. So guys, get a bucket. You guys splash this guy real quick? No, of course not, right? It's not. But if you have the opportunity to be baptized, do it. It's incredible. So let me summarize about baptism here for a second. Baptism is a public and personal declaration of our faith in Christ. It is a public and personal declaration of our faith in Christ. It's saying essentially that I'm going public with who I'm identifying with. I'm going public with my faith. I'm desiring for people to see me as who I truly am, the beloved sons and daughters of God in whom he is well pleased. That is who you are. You are the beloved. God is well pleased with you. That's how he sees you. That's who you are now. He has immersed his love over you. And when you go into that water, it's like his love covering you. It's beautiful, it's spiritual, it's a little bit mystical, and it's incredible. So it's not just public, right? It's personal. In the New Testament, the people who were baptized were ones who made a conscious personal decision to be baptized. That's why we don't baptize babies, because babies aren't really in the personal decision-making business. But when they are, and they're ready to make that decision for themselves, by all means, let's do it. Right? Children, let's go. But it's up to you. It's a personal decision, conscious decision, cognitive decision of saying, it's no longer about my past. I'm now embracing the reality of what Jesus has done within me, that my slate has been wiped clean. I am a new creation, and I desire for people to see it, to know it, and to celebrate it. I mean, how cool is it that as we as followers of Christ get this beautiful symbolic way of expressing that? It's beautiful. Identifying with a new community, a new people. I think that we need to take baptism a little bit more seriously in the sense that we are now all part of the same family. We're like a new ethnic group, so to speak, right? We are all part of the same family. You and I are now brothers and sisters. This here, you could just imagine, is like a big table, and we're all coming to hang out and talk. We're all coming together as family to share with one another. We're all coming together to express that throughout the week, we as a church, we're family here. And yes, family, it's messy. Yes, family, we can bicker, we can fight. But at the end of the day, we're still family. At the end of the day, we're going to be with each other forever. And it's beautiful. It's painful sometimes, but it's beautiful. Because that's what family is. We have been baptized into that. We have been immersed. We have been grafted into that family line, every single one of us. And so if you haven't been baptized before, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend doing it. So here's the deal. Some details that you may want to know about if you want to get baptized. In front of your chair, not you, Tracy, and not you guys, and not you, Craig, and not you, but in front of everyone else's chair and the guys here, there's a card in front of it. It's called a Connect card. On that Connect card, say you want to get baptized. There's pins on the back of the chairs too. Here's the deal. Offering is going to happen in this next song. When they pass along the offering bag, just drop the Connect card that you want to get baptized in the bag, okay? So what you want to put on there is that you want to get baptized, put your name there, and put what service you want to get baptized. And when you do that, invite your family. Invite people. Invite your neighbors. Invite your friends. Invite them to come. Because next week, we'll talk about the gospel. Next week, people are going to hear about the good news. People are going to hear about the love of God. And then we're going to baptize. And it's going to be rad. And I'm super pumped on it, and I'm really excited about it. So if you want to get baptized and you haven't been baptized, or if you were baptized as a baby and you're like, you know what, I never had the choice to do it, but I've just done it because I was Catholic and that's just what we did, then great, so be it. Get baptized again. If you haven't made the decision to do it and you want to make the decision to do it, no big deal. Wait, I can get baptized again? Yeah, why not? Who cares? There's no rule behind that. If you want to make the decision to do it, do it. So in the Connect card, the Connect card, write it down, put what service you want to do it, and then drop it into the bag. And then from there, we'll just go from there. And then next week, it's going to be a big fat party. We're all celebrating about new life. Sound good? Yeah? Cool? Right on. All right. Huh? Contact information. Like phone number, email, social security, mother's maiden name. Okay, got it. routing number, bank account. No, I'm kidding. Wait a second. What is this? Let's take this time to pray. And then we'll go back into worship. As we begin to worship, the ushers will come forward and we will take our offering. And then from worship, then Craig will come up and give us more information about things that are going on within the church. Sound good? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are and how you work and how you give us tangible expressions that we can encounter that are relating to what you have done within us. And you do something with these things like communion. You do something with these things like baptism. It's it's a bit mystical, it's a bit spiritual, it's a bit different, but it's incredible and it's beautiful and it's wonderful all at once. Man, thank you, Jesus, for how you move in our lives. God, I ask for those of us who haven't been baptized before, and maybe because going public is a bit unnerving for them, God, I ask that you would ease their nerves, and may they see it as an opportunity to share their faith in public. And God, for those who are coming tomorrow to church that don't know what's going on, we pray for them. We pray for those who are going to make that decision as well. And even for next week, for those who have never made a decision to have a relationship with you, God, I ask that you would draw them to Capo Beach Church next week. And may they know that you love them and that you desire to have a relationship with them. And so, God, we pray for life change. You're in the business of changing lives. And we pray for life change here in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We love you so much. In your name, we all said, amen. Amen.